Amen. Faithfulness. Today we celebrate Journey Church's anniversary. If you guys didn't know that, it's actually Tuesday, August 15th. You can do better than that. Come on. And give God a hand. That's right. Woohoo! Let's go. So it's the anniversary of Journey Church. We started 13 years ago, 2004, in a YMCA in Millbrook in the middle of August with no air conditioning. But you can go back and look on record. That is the coldest day in this area was on that day. So we prayed for cool weather. We didn't have air conditioning, so God provided some. So that's just how God has been faithful from the beginning, and He continues to be faithful. And so that's what we're talking about today, is God's faithfulness. How faithful He has been to us as a church, to us as individuals, and how faithful He is to the kingdom. And so, you know, one of the things we've been going through this series called Peeled, and we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are the workings of God within us. It's the workings of God within us, and it produces this fruit that we've been looking at. We've been taking each one and kind of delving in and kind of discovering, what does that mean? What does that look like? And so for every one of us in this room that is a believer, that is a follower of Christ, that we have put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation, the very thing we were just singing about, no greater love, that He went to the cross and He died for us, and He has redeemed us, and He lives within us. And so therefore He has sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is at work within us producing these fruits. And so for many of us in the room that have put our faith in Christ, you know, when we study this, we realize, you know what, this is what God wants. This is what God desires in us. And so August 15th is not only the anniversary of Journey Church, it's also mine and Lori's wedding anniversary. So we will celebrate 25 years Tuesday. So I'm excited about that. My wife was in the first service. I think she's serving somewhere, but happy anniversary to Lori, wherever she's at. And then it was also Christian's due date. August 15th, so that was on August 15th, so the doctor was going out of town, so they induced, so his birthday is actually today, August 13th, so he turns 15 today, so happy birthday to Christian, wherever he's at. But it's also the day that my mom passed away. That same August 15th, 2004, my mom passed away that morning and went to be with the Lord, and so it is branded in my heart, August 15th, if you can't tell. But it's a special time in our life as a family. And like earlier when I was sitting here worshiping, I can't help but think back on God's faithfulness through those years. Faithfulness to provide whatever the church needed, provide what our family needed. It's how God has been faithful. Even when we were not faithful, He was faithful. And so it's awesome. And I wish I'd have done a better job of journaling some of the different ways that God has been faithful through the years. Even in the first service, I had a guy come up and he had this look on his face like, you probably don't remember me. But he and his wife were one of the first couples to walk through our church doors. And here 12, 13 years later, he just happens to show up today. And I was reminded again, God's faithfulness. He ended up coming to know Christ here at Journey Church. And so just a cool story for me to hear this morning. Again, God reminding me of how faithful He is. And so I want us to look, if you will, you can kind of follow along. It should be here on the screens or either in a handout. But we've been reading this passage over and over. And I believe that what God's Word said is true, is that the Word of God never returns void. And so no matter how many times we read this, God is still working, He is speaking, and He is accomplishing His task. And so let's read it one more time. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So there's a spiritual battle going on. And so you are not free to carry out your good intentions, but when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outburst of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. And since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. And so Galatians, Paul is writing to the church there, and he's saying, listen, man, let the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, let Him work within you. And here's the thing, it's going to produce these type of things. And we've said it before, those are the very qualities and attributes that we would like to have someone say about us, that we are loving. You know, that we've got patience, we're kind, we're gentle. You know what? Man, we're faithful. And so we would love to have those things, but it's the work of God within us that brings those about. In our own nature, that's not what we get. The sinful nature is the first list, like we've talked about. And so those are the things that come easily. We don't have to teach our kids to be bad. We don't have to teach them to be jealous. We don't have to teach them to go into fits of rage or have temper tantrums. But the thing is the Holy Spirit changes all that. And it works in us and it produces this fruit that hopefully, prayerfully, we all desire. And so to be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, unwavering. That's what it means. To be faithful is to be reliable, steadfast, and unwavering. Is that what you're known for? Are you known for being reliable or steadfast or unwavering? You know, even last week we read a passage out of James where it says that God is not changing. He never even cast a moving shadow because He's so steadfast. He is the light of the world. He is the one that makes the difference. And so therefore, it says that He is unwavering. You know, and so whenever we look at that definition, we go, that's it. Faithfulness is who God is. Faithfulness is who God is. Look at this passage here. O Lord, God of heaven's armies, where is there anyone as mighty as You, O Lord? You are entirely faithful. You are entirely faithful. There may be some of you in this room that you hear that and you go, man, God is faithful. It's who He is. And you begin to go, man, I wish I had that kind of faithfulness in my life. There's some of you in this room that you just wish you had someone who was faithful. Maybe you've had a spouse that was not faithful. Maybe you had a mom or a dad that was not faithful. Maybe you've had friends that were not faithful. And what happens is a lot of times we become wounded and we walk around thinking, I can't trust anybody. There's no one that is faithful. Scripture says that God is faithful. It's who He is. Those wounds of someone breaking that trust. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was an aunt or an uncle. You know, maybe it was somebody in your life. Maybe it was someone that you thought was a friend. They ended up stabbing you in the back. And you go, you know what? There's nobody faithful. I'm just telling you, there is one. God is faithful. And God intends for us to be faithful. It's the desire of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the fruits that is produced by God at work in us. And so look at this next passage here out of Deuteronomy. It says, understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps His covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes His unfailing love on those who love Him and obey His commands. God is faithful. We look in the Scriptures and we'll see over and over and over again that He is faithful. He'll often say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And they're thinking, man, there's no way that could ever happen. It seems like the impossible, but yet God delivers. And these human minds, we can't get our mind around how powerful God is. How He can know all things. How He can see all things. How He can be everywhere. We just can't get our mind around that. So faithfulness is not only who God is. God is faithfulness, but faithfulness is what God does. Faithfulness is what God does. So God was faithful to honor His promises. In Scripture, we could go back and look, but time after time, and again, God would say, this is what I will do, and He will make a promise, and here's the thing, He would deliver. And I'm telling you, the people would often go like, what? How is that going to happen? But God would deliver. And there's times that you feel like, you know what, man, this is impossible. God can't do this, and God will deliver. He will come through. He is faithful to His promises. So let's look at a couple of these. It says God was faithful to honor His promises to Noah. You think about with Noah, you know, he's telling Noah, listen, there's going to come a great rain and I'm going to flood everything. And it had never rained before that. The earth had been watered with springs and stuff. And Noah's going like, rain, what, you know, God, you know, what do you mean? And he goes, hey, I want you to build this ark and I'm going to bring the animals to you. And, you know, and it's going to seem like something that, man, seems crazy, but I'm just telling you, just trust me because I'm going to deliver. And so the thing is God was faithful to His promises, and then He floods the earth, and then He gives a promise. It's the rainbow that we see in the sky. And that rainbow is a promise that God will not flood the earth like that again. And I know there's many times you guys are wondering, hey, is that promise still good, as much rain as we've had? But I'm just telling you, God is good for His Word. He is going to honor His Word. And so we see that God has been faithful to Noah. We see that He's faithful to Abraham and Sarah. He told them, He said, listen, you're going to have a child. And she's like, there's no way. We're way up in age. You know, does anybody remember how old Sarah was? Anybody want to take a shot? Like 90. Abraham was older. And so that's kind of like whenever you get together at Thanksgiving and y'all gather around and Papa and Grandma come in and they set a little animal on the table and say, hey, guess what? We got a surprise. We're expecting. Y'all would be freaking out, you know? I mean, you'd be like, what? That is gross and everything else. But I'm just saying, God delivered in a way that nobody expected it. And so they laughed. Sarah laughed. And so the thing is God would deliver and he would provide a son. And they had questioned, God, are you going to hear our prayers? God, you know, you said you would give us a child. You said that, you know what? And here's the thing, it would become a nation. And so God would deliver on his promises in ways that people thought, there's no way. When Abraham went up to literally sacrifice Isaac, he knew that God would provide a sacrifice. Because he knew God was what? Faithful. He's taking his son and he's thinking, God is telling me to sacrifice, but even if I sacrifice him, God is faithful and he'll bring him back to life if he has to. And so the thing is we see people who lived by faith, but they trusted the God who was trustworthy, who was faithful. They knew that he would deliver. And so faithfulness, here we see Moses. You know, Abraham and Sarah experienced that. Moses, you know, he's an outcast, he's an outlaw, he's killed someone, he's murdered someone. And he's telling God what he can't do. I can't speak well. And he's saying, listen, I just want you to go be my mouthpiece. And I want you to go speak to the Pharaoh. And I'm going to perform miracles. And there's going to be great things that will happen. And here's the thing. God delivered. Every one of them. Whatever he spoke through Moses, he delivered on. Even the death angel who would come and take the firstborn. And he would pass over those where the blood of the lamb had been covered. He honored his word. He delivered. God is faithful. We serve a God who is faithful. In the midst of chaos and turmoil and all that's going on in our world, God is faithful. He was faithful to the nation of Israel. He promised them a land that was flowing with milk and honey. He would let Moses lead them right up to the edge of it. And they would go in and they would spy the land out, and there would be two that would come back and would trust that God would be faithful to deliver it. The others questioned it. Said, man, they're like giants. There's no way. We'll be squished like grasshoppers. And so they had to wonder. But whenever they came back, those two who were faithful to God's promise, they walked in. They experienced God's provision. God went before them and gave them everywhere that they set their foot. And so we see God's provision again. We see God's provision and how he was faithful to the widows. I want to read a passage to you out of 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17, we see where Elijah had been fed by ravens. God had literally taken birds and fed him as he was staying there. And then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And as she was going to get it, he called her, and bring me a bite of bread too. Now, I know some of you probably, when you read that, kind of bothers you that he's like, man, a sorry guy here. You know, he's making this widow. I thought we were supposed to care for the widows and the orphans. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. Now, I have only enough, a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook the last meal. And then my son and I will die. There'd been a famine. She was struggling, probably losing all hope. We sit there and go, man, what a positive person, but she was at wit's end. But here's what I love about the story. It says, but Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. It seems selfish, doesn't it? And then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said. And she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Here's a person who is like at wit's end. Like there's just enough for one last meal, and then we die. And then this man of God comes to her and says, hey, listen, I want you to make me a little bread first. And for most of us in here, our flesh kind of goes like, what a sorry dog. You know, we begin to question him, but it's an opportunity for her to trust God is speaking through him. And so here's the thing, she's incredibly obedient. Knowing that's the last that she has, it says that she did what the man of God told her to do. And that God continued to provide time and time again until the rains came. And so God was, he's been faithful. His faithfulness is what he does. Faithfulness is who he is. And so he provides for one here who, listen, is at wit's end. There may be some of you, you're in the same place. You feel like, man, I'm at wit's end. I don't know what else to do. Man, we're struggling. And maybe you just need to hear this. God hears you. He wants to meet the needs in your life. Look at this next one. God was faithful. God's faithfulness is to provide the way of salvation. He promises to provide the way of salvation to the people. He tells us throughout the Scriptures, throughout the Old Testament, he is promising that there's one that's coming that will take away the sins of the world. There's one that's coming that, you know what, he will lay down his life. There's one that's coming that he will literally be the lamb that the world has been waiting on. He'll be the precious lamb of God. He was faithful to send the Messiah. That's Jesus, the promised one. And so we see where the faithfulness of God is, he's going to provide the way of salvation. He is going to send the Messiah. They've been praying for this. They knew that God had said he was coming. And so when Jesus steps onto this earth as a baby, the prophecies were fulfilled. Everything that he would go through, everything that he would deal with, would fulfill the prophecies that we see in the Old Testament. And here's the thing is, God honors his promises from beginning to end and continues to. And so God is saying, hey, listen, I will provide the way of salvation. I will redeem you. I will bring you into the family. And he does that through his son. Look at what it says. Here it says, when God says he will do something, he does it even when it seems impossible. See, I believe that many people thought, how can one cover the sins of the whole world? There may be some of you that you struggle with that. How can one cover the sins of the whole world? But Jesus was the perfect lamb. He was God in flesh. We sang about it a little bit earlier. Since the creation of time, Jesus has been with the Father. And the Father knew that there would be a time when he would go to the cross. And so God had promised that there would be a Messiah, a Redeemer. And so God has given both his promise and his oath. And these two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence. I hope that you guys have confidence in who God is. You have confidence in your salvation. You have confidence in the God of the universe. We can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is this strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary through the person of Jesus Christ. Through the person of Jesus Christ. He is our intercessor. He is our high priest. And so we get to enter into the very presence of God. This morning, we had a special time of prayer. And I would invite any of you guys that want to join us. But this morning, we met in the square for a special time of prayer from 7 o'clock until about 7:30, 7:45. And we were praying and we were interceding. We were praying for many of you, even though you didn't know that. We were praying for people. We were praying for people by name. We were praying for God to move in the hearts of people. We were praying that our leadership would be faithful. We're praying that our people would be faithful. We're praying that the very Word of God would literally penetrate hearts and that people would hear that there is a God who is faithful, who cares about them and has provided the way of salvation. We've been praying for you this morning. And the only way that we can even approach God is because of what Christ has done. And he allows us to enter into God's presence and to stand in the gap praying for you guys, praying for our community, praying for our nation, for healing, praying for hearts to be turned to God, praying for the gospel of peace to fill these wicked hearts that infect so many things around us. And so we stand there, we claim these promises. Look at this next one. It says, the temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. There it is again. God is faithful. And he will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. See, one thing I want you to understand, for every one of us in this room, we are all tempted. I'm tempted. My wife is tempted. We are all tempted. But the thing is that God is faithful and He will provide a way out, or either He will give us strength to stand up under the pressure that we are dealing with. And so we will all face temptations. We will all face those challenges. But the thing is God is faithful. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't abandon us. Can you imagine what Jesus felt like as He's being beaten and ridiculed and spit upon and punched and hit, and then all of His disciples flee? Can you imagine how He felt? Because they had promised that they would be there to the end. Well, here's the thing. He knows what it feels like, and He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will live within you. For the believer, those who put their faith in Christ, He says, I will literally dwell within you, and I'll do great and mighty things through you. And so the body of Christ, the church, is literally God working in us and doing His great works through the body of Christ. And look at this next one here. It says, but if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. When we confess our sins to God, when we confess, we take ownership, we say, God, I have lied. God, I ask you to forgive me. God, I have been jealous. I ask you to forgive me. God, I've had literally anger that has overtaken me this week. God, I've had fits of rage. God, I ask you to forgive me. God, I've been selfish this week. I've been jealous this week. I've been envious this week. I have coveted what other people have. God, I confess those things to you, and I ask you to forgive me. And whenever we confess our sins and we repent and turn to Him, He says that He will cleanse us and He will wipe away our sins. He will cover that sin with the blood of Christ. And so for you and for me, if we're honest and we're transparent and we're faithful to confess our sins and to turn from them, He says that He will literally wash them away. And so I want us to look at another picture of a widow's faithfulness here. And so this is the widow's offering. And we often hear this story and we talk about the widow's mite. So I want you to read with me here. It says, Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, and He watched the crowds drop in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts, and then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called His disciples to Him, and He said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor she is, has given everything she had to live on. So I want you guys to, this is a mite. It's a mite. And so I want to ask our ushers, if you will, go ahead and pass these out. I want to give you one of these. And so they're going to put them in your hand. And as it comes by, just take one. Don't get greedy. It kind of goes against what we're teaching today. You got to trust God. Just take one. And here's the thing. Hopefully we've got enough, but if we don't, I'll just tell you this. We gave all that we had. It follows the teaching. And so just take one mite, put it in your hand. And as these guys are passing that out, I want you to kind of put it in your hand, and I want you to hold it. And as you hold it, I just want you to look at it. You can flip it over. You can take a look and see what it looks like. It's just a small copper coin, if you would. Or it's not worth a whole lot. To be honest with you, this one's worth nothing. There might be a good reminder in holding that. Oftentimes, whenever we share in communion, I'll ask people to take the piece of bread that represents the body of Christ and to hold it in their hand. And so, if you will, I want you just to hold it there, and I want you just to look at it, just for a moment of focus. And so look at that mite and realize that it's really just a piece of metal that doesn't have much value, if any at all. But it may have great lessons and great reminders for us. So when we look at that, kind of like when we look at the bread and we realize this represents the body of Christ that was pierced for my transgressions, for my sins, that was beaten instead of me. So when I look at this coin here, this mite, it reminds me of the widow. And the thing about the widow is we don't even know her name. We don't even know her name. All we know is that there's this widow who is obviously poor. But and you can put that in your pocket, and you can tote it around with you. And you can maybe whenever you look at it, next time you pick it up or you reach in your pocket and you pull it out, you ask yourself, man, am I faithful? Am I faithful? Or maybe you pull it out and you go, God is faithful. God is faithful. So there's a couple of things here. She was faithful. And she knew God was faithful. And so as you hang on to that mite, you can't ever say that we never gave you anything here. We gave you a mite. Not worth a whole lot. But it might have a good lesson in life, good reminder. But here's what I love about that story. She was faithful. And you might think, well, God doesn't really care about what we give or how much we give. Yeah, He does. You might say, well, Jesus, you know, Jesus is about grace. You know, Jesus is not about the tithe. You know, a lot of times people say, well, tithe, isn't that Old Testament? And, you know, really, Jesus is not about the tithe. Well, Jesus cared enough about what was given that He sat down and He watched the offering taking place. So if you think that He doesn't look at how we handle what we have, you're sadly mistaken. He looks to see what kind of steward we will be. He looks to see, hey, what are the motives behind why we give? He looks to see how much do we trust Him. He looks to see how much do we trust that He will provide, that He will deliver. He looks to see how faithful we will be to the teachings of God's Word. And so whenever this past week I was looking up a video, and I found a video. It's a depiction of that taking place. And so Jesus is there, and He's got His disciples, and it shows the rich people giving. And this is just a depiction. Like I said, these people that, you know, videotaped this, they weren't there, but they read what we read. But it shows them, kind of the rich people kind of dropping it in, making sure that it makes plenty of noise, and it kind of everybody, and it's kind of like, hey, look at here how much I'm putting in. And then the widow just kind of comes up and nonchalantly drops in her two coins. She turns and walks away. And so Jesus, watching it, like it says in the Scripture, He says, she gave more than anybody. And He begins to teach His disciples that God cares about what we do with what we have, about how we handle our resources, how much we trust Him. And so I want us to look at these next couple of statements here. Because, see, if we believe that God is faithful, if faithfulness is who God is, and faithfulness is what God does, then faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be a couple of things. He leads us to be faithful to our promises in marriage. Our promises are our vows in marriage. Listen, every week, based on the prayer requests that we get every week, I could teach on marriage nearly every week. There's constantly someone putting down, pray for my husband, pray for me and my wife, pray for me and my husband, pray for my wife. We're struggling. Not sure we're going to make it. And I'm just telling you, every week I could probably teach on marriage based on just on our prayer request. And for us, that's the pulse of our people. And so I just want you to understand that God intends for us to honor our promises. If we're going to be a reflection, if we're going to be a representation of who God is and His Son Jesus, then we ought to be known as being faithful. Faithful to the promises that we make. Faithful to the vows that we make. And so I want you to think about that for a second. If you're married in here, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you're married. All right, that's a lot of people in here. All right, and so you may be sitting there thinking, well, you know, Mike, I'm not married. Yeah, but here's the thing. You may be one day. So I want you to think about this. When we stand before God and we stand before the witnesses and people there, what we do is we exchange promises with one another and vows with one another. We say, hey, I promise to be there in good times and in bad, in sickness and in health, till death separates us. And we make that promise to one another, to the person across from us, and then we also make that promise to God. And so the Scriptures tell us, you know, that what God has joined together, let no man separate. We claim that verse, and we stand, you know, there as witnesses. Hey, you know what? These two have established a covenant with you, God, and they've established a covenant with one another. And I know the statistics. Half of the marriages end in divorce. Even the ones in the church, half of them. Many of you in this room have already been divorced, some of you more than once. But here's what I want you to hear. Faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful to our promises and our vows in marriage. It's not easy being married. It's two people that battle the flesh. It's two people that want to be selfish. It's two people that are struggling with what they want. And so it's that constant battle of dying to the flesh and saying, God, I want to be led by Your Spirit. But here's the thing. I would just challenge any of you in here that are married is to say, God, I want to be led by your Spirit. I want to serve my wife. I want to serve my husband. God, I want the fruit of the Spirit of love to cover me and show me how to love my spouse. God, I want you to show me, to, you know, grow in me patience. Grow in me gentleness. Grow in me self-control. God, grow in me whatever it needs to be so that my marriage can be a witness of your faithfulness and your mercy and your grace. Understand this. Jesus is the groom. The church, that's all of us, is the bride. Our marriage is often used as a picture of the very grace and the mercy of God to the people around us. And so our marriage, how we love each other. And let me just say this to all the moms and dads in here. I know we often want to give our kids the best. We want to give them the best education, whatever. The best thing that you could ever give to your kids is for you to love your spouse the way that God tells you to love each other in Ephesians. And so if we love our spouse with that kind of love and we seek to serve one another and honor one another and to submit to each other out of reverence for Christ, it is the greatest gift you could give to your kids because they will see Jesus in that marriage. And one day, prayerfully, they will put their faith in Christ and they'll say, man, I want to love like my mom and dad had because they loved God and they loved each other. And so the greatest thing that we could do is to share the greatest love that has ever been shown, and that is God's love for us, and it's the picture that we see in marriage. And so be faithful to our promises and our vows in marriage. Here's the second one. Faithfulness in the whole is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful to our commitments. Our commitments. Our commitments may be a multitude of things. It's not just your marriage. Maybe for some of you dads in here, you know, you feel like, you know, man, you know, I've made a commitment to do this. Well, then honor it, because you'll teach your son or your daughter to honor their commitments. So whatever the commitments are that you make those commitments, then honor them. And you'll be known as faithful. And so maybe you, today we're doing the membership class and after the second service. And so we tell people when we go through, hey, listen, you're entering into a covenant with the church. And you're saying, hey, listen, man, I commit to do these things. I commit to serve. I commit to give. I commit to support the ministries of the church. I commit to learn about my spiritual gifts so that I can employ them. And the body of Christ is built up and that the lost will come to know Christ. I commit to reach out to those who do not know Him and bring them with me so that they can hear the gospel of peace. Then honor your commitments. Do what you say you're going to do. Be known as someone who is faithful and you can count on. Not someone who is swayed to and fro and tossed away, tossed about like a wave in the ocean. And here's the other one. Faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us. And He leads us to be faithful to our responsibilities. Faithful to our responsibility. You say, well, Mike, didn't you just talk about commitments? See, there's some of you guys in here that just because of who we are, we have a responsibility. If you're a dad in this room, if you're a husband in this room, you're to be the spiritual leader of your home. It's a responsibility that goes with the role. And so God wants you to be, and I know some of the guys go, they get intimidated like, my wife knows more about the scriptures than me, then start studying. You know, and you say, well, Mike, you know, my wife is way more spiritual than I am, then get on your knees. And so the thing is we have a responsibility as the men in our families to lead our families and lead them well, to protect our wife, to cherish our wife, to pursue our wife, and to do everything that we can to make her feel like she is the queen in our life. That is our responsibility as the husband, and that is our responsibility to lead our family well. And so there's other things that we have, responsibilities in life. Some of you guys have jobs. Anybody in here got a job? Raise your hand if you got a job. Man, y'all don't act like you're too excited about having a job. But here's the thing, is you have a responsibility to be there on time. I promise you, your boss wants you to be there on time. He wants you to work while you're there. He wants you to give your best. You have a responsibility to work as one who is working unto the Lord, not just your boss. But you have a responsibility to be a person of integrity and character to where you are working as unto the Lord. You have a responsibility to give your very best while you're there and to earn your wages. You're not looking for a way to get by or just kind of do enough to get a paycheck. If you are, you're no different than the world. But as believers, as followers of Christ, we're called to give our very best. And so to honor our responsibilities, faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful to His Word. He leads us to be faithful to His Word. Let me tell you, I said it a while ago, the Word of God goes out and it will accomplish its task. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit that is literally working in the Word of God. And He's using the Word of God to work in us. When we read the Bible, it reads us. We stand on the promises of God, it changes us. And so we need to be faithful to the Word of God. We need to be faithful to read it day in, day out, taking in the Word of God. We need to be faithful to memorize it. David said, I've hid your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so I'm just telling you, here's a guy who is after God's own heart. We need to say, God, help me to hunger for your Word. There's some of you in here, you don't enjoy reading the Bible, and I understand that. And there may be some of you in here, you've never accepted Christ, so for you it doesn't make sense, and it never will until you have the Spirit of the living God living within you, bringing the Bible to life. But the thing is we've got to want to literally take it in, and we've got to want to share it with others. Because what we're doing is, this is a feast right here, and we're beggars who have found this feast, and we're saying, man, let me share with you hope. Let me share with you healing. Let me share with you the things of God. Because God loves you, and He wants a relationship with you, and He wants to change you. He wants to transform you, and He wants to make a difference in your life and the lives of the people around you. Faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful to share Jesus with others. Faithful to share Jesus with others. That's the Great Commission. Jesus commissioned us. He said, I want you to go into the world, and I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to live out your life in such a way that people hear how they can be saved. And here's the thing, I want you to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to invest in them. I want you to make disciples of them. I want you to pour your life into their life. And I want you to do everything you can to help them become faithful followers of Christ. That is the Great Commission. Let me tell you something that bothered me. It's bothered me all week. Last week, when we get to the end of every service, I always try to find a way to present the gospel of peace. I always try to find a way of offering hope to the hopeless. I always want to find a way to present Christ. And I don't care what I'm teaching on. And so last week in both services, you know, I always ask people, hey, listen, man, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ, man, I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And so I give people an opportunity. I said, all you have to do is just raise your hand. And so in this service, there was no one who raised their hand. I'm looking around, I'm thinking there's hundreds of people in here. Hundreds of people in here. And this is what hit me. Either, number one, there are people in here that are lost and they're still weighing out this whole Christianity thing. And that may be where you're at. Maybe you're still trying to figure out, man, is God trustworthy? Is He someone that I can lean into? Will He be there for me? So you're still weighing it. You're still trying to figure out, is this Jesus thing really, is it really real? And then there's others of you that maybe you want to do that, but you're afraid that you won't be able to live up to the commitment. And so therefore, you're thinking about what all that you've done, how many times you've broken your commitment. You're thinking, man, I want to live for Christ, but I just don't know if I can do that. Here's the thing. It's not what you do. It's the Holy Spirit working in you that moves you and equips you and gives you what you need. But here's the other thing. And I got thinking, is this where we are as a church? Is this church just full of a bunch of Christians who are just doing the holy roundup every Sunday? And we're just doing our little holy huddle. And we come in and we sing our songs and we raise our hands. And man, we worship God. But we're not reaching out to those who haven't met Him yet. And I'm thinking, man, are we faithful to the Great Commission as a church? Are we faithful to the mission that God has given this church? I talk about it all the time. The mission of Journey Church is this. We exist to reach the unchurched. And to lead them, to introduce them to Christ. That's our goal. And here's the thing, is to one day equip them to the point of they are faithful followers of Christ. That's why we exist. And so if you're a member of the church and you're not reaching out to your lost friends, you're not on mission with us. And we've got to ask ourselves sometimes, man, am I being faithful to the mission that we're on? Have we experienced mission drift to where it's just about coming to church and doing the check mark and kind of going through the motions and kind of getting an attaboy and I feel better about going out and man, being who I am? But the thing is we're called to be the light of the world. We're called to reach out to those that don't know Christ. It's like someone having the cure to cancer and not offering it to those who have cancer. What we ought to be doing is saying, you know, God, give me opportunities to share my faith. God, show me the people around me that don't know you. And God, I want to invite them to church. And I know sometimes we say, hey, listen, we see people say, man, you ought to go to church with me sometimes. What you ought to say, hey, listen, I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'll come by and pick you up. Hey, listen, I'm going to be there Sunday morning. I'll be out front waiting on you. Don't stand me up. Listen, please. Man, you know, I want you to be there. And so here's the thing. We become intentional about reaching those that don't know Christ, and we bring them here to where there's food. We bring them here to where there's hope. We bring them here to where there's truth. We bring them here where there is peace. We bring them here where there's salvation that they can hear the gospel and they can respond to the gospel. Now, here's the other thing. I don't want you to misunderstand this. They don't just have to come here. You and I are commanded to go to where they're at. And maybe you think, Mike, I don't know how to share my faith yet. Well, then learn. You know, commit to that. So, you know, I'm going to learn how to share my faith. If you know enough to be saved, you know enough to share the gospel. Every one of us. And so, whenever I ask that question at the end, like I said, it has troubled me all week. Have we had mission drift? Have we lost sight of why we exist as a church? And do we not care enough about reaching out to the lost that we quit inviting them? And there may be some of you that you're here today for the first time. I hope you know, man, if you're lost and you don't know Christ, we've planted this church for you. 13 years ago, that's why we planted it, was to reach the lost and equip them for the works of ministry. That's what it's about. If you're coming to the Connect class, I'll go ahead and give you a snippet on the front end. That's why we exist. It is not just to do a holy rally. It is to literally to come in here and to be charged up and say, let's go make a difference. Let's take this message to the world. That's what the Bible says, that we're called to be the messengers, the representation, if you would, of Christ. As we go out, we share with our mouth, and we share with our hands, and we share with our feet wherever we go the good news, that those people can have a right relationship with a God who loves them. Look at this next one. Faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful, to give sacrificially through the church. I read an article this past week that Johnny Hunt made a statement. He said, listen, only 2%, most believers only give 2%. 2%. Only give 2%. The Bible teaches us that the tithe is the Lord's. It's not even mine to give. It's His. And if I keep it, the Bible says I'm stealing. And so the thing is most believers only give 2% to the kingdom financially. And I know you say, well, you know, Mike, God doesn't really care about the resources. If you go back and read that scripture again, I think He does care. And so the thing is I know there's plenty of us in here that go, man, Mike, you know, you don't realize how much debt we have. You don't realize how we're struggling. It goes back to, do you trust God? Because He is faithful. And here's the other thing. Do you trust God enough to put yourself on a path that leads to maybe getting out of debt? Maybe you need to sell some things. Maybe you need to get rid of some things. But you get to the point where you can live within your means. That may take a step of faith and a dying to pride and ego. And so the question here is, the Holy Spirit is going to lead us to give. Let me tell you this. That's what happened with the widow. The Holy Spirit was working in her in such a way, she said, you know what? I've only got these two mites here. But you know what? And this is all I have to live on. But God, I trust You because You are faithful. And so whenever she drops those two mites in the offering basket, she's going, God, You are faithful. I know You will take care of me. And the God would go ahead and literally write about her. And then here's the next one. Faithfulness is the Holy Spirit working within us, and He leads us to be faithful, to trust Him, to provide and protect. Some of us live in fear. And as Christians, we're not called to have a spirit of fear or of timidity, but of a sound mind and power. And we ought to be walking in the authority of Christ, and we ought to be walking around not fearing what's going on around us. But you know what? Being a strong mind, being filled with the power of God, and being able to offer hope to those who have no hope and those who do walk in fear. Here's a couple quick steps, and we're done. So maybe some of these apply for you. Maybe it's just some suggestions. But next step for me today, I will choose to trust God, for He is faithful. Maybe you've been wondering, man, is God faithful? I hope that His Word has communicated to you and has, you know, helped you realize, you know what, God is faithful. What He says He will do, He will do. It may not be in my timing, but what He says He will do, He will do. The second one there, I will attend Connect class today and commit to be faithful to God's church. Maybe you're looking for a church family. Maybe you're looking for a place to literally grow and to develop. Well, then, come on. What are you waiting on? You know, let's go. Let's gather together. Let's equip one another. Let's sharpen one another. And let's go out and let's make a difference. And then the last one here, I'll be faithful to support the ministry of God's church by trusting Him to tithe and to give each week. The tithe is the first 10%. I think most of us in here know that. The tithe is the first 10%. If you make $100, you give Him 10. But you don't give Him 10, you return His 10. And then anything you give above that is a gift. It's because you go, you know what, God, I believe in what You're doing. God, I believe in Your church. God, I believe in the message of the gospel. God, I want to invest in it. God, I want to support missionaries. God, I want to invest in atmospheres where the gospel of Christ is preached. I want to see kids' lives changed. I want to see families healed. I want to see marriages saved. God, I want to invest in something. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that has a greater return than the change, the mites that, if you will, that you throw into the offering. Say, God, I believe that You will take this and You'll bless this. Every week we pray for God to multiply what we give. 2% is what the average believer gives. So do you trust Him enough to give? And here's the thing. If we can't trust Him with our finances, then how can we trust Him with our soul? Let's pray. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, just maybe you're hearing, man, you're still struggling to believe that God is faithful. Man, I just hope you hear my heart. He has proven to be faithful throughout my life. I'm a walking testimony of His faithfulness. There's plenty of times when I have let Him down. Plenty of times whenever I have become selfish or jealous or whatever, envious. I've had to confess that sin and say, God, I ask You to forgive me. But I'm just telling you, He is faithful. Maybe your marriage is struggling. He's calling you to be faithful. He's calling you to honor the promises and the vows that you made. He's calling you to honor your commitments, to honor your responsibilities. He's calling you to faithfulness. Maybe you're here and you've never put your faith in Christ. Maybe you haven't had the courage to raise your hand. But maybe today, for the first time, you believe that God can save you. And you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You want to know that you're part of the family of God. If that's you, you say, Mike, that's me. Today, I believe that God is faithful. And I want to ask Him to save me. I want to ask Christ into my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. Just say, Mike, that's me. I see your hand. It takes courage to do that. I see your hand. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Thank you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand and say, Mike, I want to accept Christ. I want Christ to live within me. Anybody else? Everybody else with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I see your hand right here. If you raised your hand, I want you to look at me. Everybody else, I want you praying. If you raised your hand, I want you to look at me. I see you. I see you, all right? I see you over here too. Listen, I want you to hear this. If you raised your hand, it's a simple prayer. It almost seems too easy. But here's the thing. God is faithful to respond to that prayer. And it's by faith that we're saved. No other way. It's not by us being good. It's not even by us being faithful. That comes after the Holy Spirit comes in us. Does that make sense? And so it's by faith that we're saved. And so if you will, I want you to do this. I want you just to, in your heart of hearts, pray this prayer. And just I want you to repeat in your heart of hearts this prayer. God, I believe that You are faithful. God, I believe You're faithful. God, I believe You can save me. I believe that You provided the way of salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Jesus, I'm asking You with all the faith that I have, I want You to come into my life. And I want You to be my Lord, and I want You to be my Savior, and I want You to lead my life. I want You to guide me. And so if you believe that by faith, the Bible says that you will be saved. You say, Jesus, I confess to You that I'm a sinner. I need You. I confess that to You. And God, I want to quit living that way. I want to repent. That means to turn and go a different direction. It's to turn to Him. Do you understand that? God wants to work in you. And so here's the thing. I hope all three of you that raised your hand, I hope you understand this. That if you put your faith in Christ, if you just accept the free gift of salvation, you will be saved. And you become a child of God. No longer just a creation of God. God's Word tells us in Psalms 139 that we're a creation of God. But here's the thing. When we accept Christ, we are adopted into His family. We become a child of God. Co-heirs with Christ, a child of the King. It's by faith and faith alone. It's by faith and faith alone. I'm proud of all three of you for having the courage to do that. Man, we would love to walk with you in the days ahead. Our VIP room back here in the back. You guys can go back there after the service. We've got a Bible that we want to put in your hand. We want to help you in that walk and help you grow in your faith, okay? There may be others of you in here, man, you know what? You haven't been faithful. Maybe it's time to say, God, I want to ask You to forgive me for not being faithful. God, I haven't been faithful to Your Word. I haven't been faithful to the leading of Your Holy Spirit. God, I haven't been faithful to church. I want to ask You to forgive me for not cherishing Your bride, not loving the church the way that I ought to love the church. God, I want to ask You to change me. I want the Holy Spirit working in me in such a way that I become known by the fruits of the Spirit in my life. So You've got to ask Him in a fresh way. Breathe into me life. God, in a fresh way, move in my heart. God, I confess my sin to You. God, I choose to repent, and I desire to be led by Your Spirit day in, day out for Your glory. Father, I thank You for meeting with us today. I thank You for these three that had the courage to raise their hand. God, I pray for their next steps. I pray they would meet us back here at the VIP room. They'd get a Bible. Begin to understand, God, the steps and be able to lay the foundations, God, that You want to lay in their life that will last forever. God, I pray for them to be able to walk out of here today knowing that they have a relationship with You. God, I pray that You would bless them. I pray that You would use them for great and mighty things. And God, I pray for us as a church that we would come alongside of them. We would walk with them. We would encourage them. We would challenge them. And God, we would pray for them. God, thank You for meeting with us today. And God, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit who is at work here today. God, we love You. And we love that You allow us to be a part of Your kingdom.